On this episode of The Sword and Trial, Graham and I talk about President Biden's recent proclamation of the Transgender Day of Visibility and how this is just the latest expression of the promotion of the new religion of America, paganism. We've seen it going on for a long time, and it's just becoming more and more prominent. And we, as those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, need to think rightly about it and respond appropriately to it. And specifically, we need to learn what love looks like in the midst of such circumstances. So we encourage you to pass this around and to listen in today and hopefully learn with us as we think from the Word of God to these current issues. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Sword and Trial. The Sword and Trial is a podcast of Founders, and Founders Ministries exists for the recovery of the gospel, the reformation of local churches. I am Tom Askell.
And I'm Graham Gundon.
And we are sitting here in the wake of, what is it called, Transgender Visibility Day? Is
Day
that what it
visibility.
Is? Day of
right.
Visibility. Mm-hmm. So our President of the United States, President Biden, issued a proclamation saying that transgendered people need to be seen, and then doubled down and said, we do see you. And anyone who protested that he would issue a proclamation that Easter Sunday 2024 would be formally recognized as Transgender Day of Visibility is simply trying to divide the nation, full of hate. And really, such people do not love others as the Lord Jesus has called us to love others. So what do you say for yourself, bigot?
I saw that Raphael Warnock also made the comment that anyone who does not honor the day as Transgender Day of Visibility is an anti-Christian. So, you know, test the spirits, make sure you know who the spirit of Antichrist is, and that's us.
Yeah, you know, isn't it amazing when you stop and try to compare that kind of statement, this kind of proclamation, to what was going on even just 50 years ago? We don't have to go back 100, just 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And we are in bizarro world.
It is so strange, you know, and the narrative right now from the left and from the naive is that, you know, Transgender Day of Visibility has been a thing for a long time. And, you know, even President Joe Biden started recognizing the day 2 or 3 years ago. And so he didn't intentionally try to replace Easter with Transgender Day of Visibility. And there was a day in which evangelical Christians would have gone along with that narrative and said, yeah, you know, we don't like it, but it's not like he intentionally tried to replace the true religion with the new national religion. But we're not naive anymore. And we don't go along with those kinds of narratives. That was back when David French and Russell Moore were leading us. And we recognize now, and we see very clearly that what our political leaders and what progressive leftists are trying to do is they are trying to subvert the true religion with a new false pagan national religion. And it's interesting. I mean, we have debates and conversations over Christian nationalism, and part of the debate is it ever legitimate for a nation to consider itself Christian or to have an established religion or anything? And it's so true that it's not a question of whether, but it's a question of which.
Absolutely.
It's not whether we will have an established religion or not, but which religion will be established.
And what it means to be established. Because that word alarms people. It's taken you know, from the Constitution. We get it. And we're not talking about a theocratic state. At least I'm not talking about a theocratic state.
Well, I'm not either, Tom.
But well, I didn't think you were. But to give you room just in case, you know, I mean, it's been a few days since we talked. So, but it is inevitable. I mean, as you've pointed out in one of our previous podcasts, we are inherently worshiping beings. We are made to worship. We will worship. And just because a guy occupies an office of a civil magistrate, he doesn't quit being a worshiper. He's going to continue to worship. And we've seen that happen. You know, whenever President Biden issued this proclamation, I was immediately concerned because I was afraid that his proclamation might somehow cross over and cancel out what's coming in April 6th, which is the International Asexuality Day. or or that it might undermine April 13th, the International Day of Pink, which is the day opposing homophobia, or that it would interfere with April 26th, which is Lesbian Visibility Day, or May 17th, the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia, or June, which is Gay Pride Month, or November, which is the Trans Awareness Month, or on and on and on it goes.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a liturgical calendar in this country for the pagan worship that we are having thrust upon us that I'm surprised he found a day that was available.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see what progressive postmodern paganism looks like. Because it is paganism, but it does look different from old-fashioned paganism. It is a religion. It is, Joe Biden has entered into office and he will, like you said, he will continue to be a worshiper, but who is his God?
Yeah.
And it is interesting also that sexuality really has become central to the new pagan religion. Somebody made the point that sexuality or sexual identity has in our minds replaced what previously we thought of as the soul. The soul was that essential part of you, the non-physical part of you, which was kind of really just who you were. That's been replaced now with our sexual identity. And so this is why you see so many people when you deny a person who is transgender or you say that, no, you should not as a man be attracted to other men, that kind of thing. What you're doing is you are erasing their existence, because what you're doing is you're actually attacking their soul. You're saying that they, in the core of who they are, do not exist. Even Margaret Sanger, and she didn't have a lot of this language, made the point that this sexual progressivism is the new religion, which will bring in heaven on earth. And that's how our political leaders and the leaders in our cultural institutions, that's how they worship. That is their great commission, to bring the new heavens and new earth to this earth. It's through sexual liberation.
Right. And it is an attempt to overthrow the God who is, the God who has spoken, and the world that this God has created. Because God created the world as it is. He created mankind, male and female, in his own image. And there's no way that can be other than it is. He's the same God who created the law of gravity. You can defy the law of gravity. You can pretend it doesn't exist. It's just not going to go well for you because reality ultimately wins out. Nature wins out. And that's what we are seeing happen here as people detransition and they tell their stories, and it's horrific, and yet you're grateful that God has delivered them from the insanity that our culture has foisted upon us and people are celebrating. I mean, can you imagine? I think this is in Carl Truman's book about the rise and triumph of the modern self. But 50 years ago, 75 years ago, if you'd walked into a doctor's office as a man and said, "I am a man trapped in a woman's body," well, how would that doctor have treated you? He would have said, "You got a mental problem. We need to help you to come to terms with nature, with reality."
Yep.
Well, you walk into a doctor's office today, what's he going to say to you? "Oh, well, we've got to get you on hormone therapy. We've got to maybe do surgery on you so that the body that you've been given can get in alignment with the mind."
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the issue. Has God, who created male and female, made mistakes? That's what we're being told.
Yeah. Well, it's the question of... do I have the right to impose my perception of reality upon nature, or do I stand in submission to what God has created in nature and let God determine who I am through nature?
That's right.
And so, we have now a president who, he acknowledged Easter and he acknowledged Good Friday, but it's really just this subversive thing. You know, he comes out on Good Friday and he announces this Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. And we have him beginning to establish the liturgical calendar from a political standpoint, at the federal level. And this is the play, this is the strategy. It's intentionally replacing true religion.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today for this conversation on the Sword and the Trowel. Tom and I wanted to invite you to come and join us down here in sunny Southwest Florida, January 23rd through the 25th for our National Founders Conference. This next theme for next year is going to be Revive Us, O Lord, a whole conference on revival. Dr. Tom Askell, Dr. Bodie Bauckham, Jeff Johnson, Dr. Joel Beakey will be some of the speakers that will be there with us. It's going to be a wonderful time, as the Founders National Conferences always are, of fellowship and growing in the Word. So go to founders.org, look at some of the information on the conference. We'd love to have you here. And if you'd like more information, you can see some of that at the end of this podcast.
And one of the things that's always helpful for us in trying to get some ethical clarity whenever these types of plays are being run on us is to substitute the acceptable perversion for something that is still unacceptable. And so imagine if he had announced a day of visibility for pedophiles or for those who practice bestiality. And folks was, oh, I can't believe you would even say that. Well, just wait.
Yeah,
I mean, there's already advocates for the pedophilia becoming normalized. It's not pedophilia. It is MAP, or minor attracted persons. We're minor attracted persons. We're not pedophiles.
Yeah.
And this is coming. It's coming. And once you give ground to irrationality so that you can deny nature and the God of nature, anything goes. It's just a matter of time.
Culturally speaking, the ground was given up long ago, and especially when we got to Obergefell. Once we totally eradicated the definition of marriage, the ground was given up to the point now where, oh yeah, we believe that it's wrong and socially unacceptable for adults to have sexual relations with minors, but we do think it's okay for minors to be able to have the right to determine what sex they are.
Exactly.
So they have the ability and the maturity to be able to determine, hey, I was born as a boy, but actually I think I'm a girl. So hey, let's get all these surgeries and all these hormones pumped into me to make my perception reality line up with my perception. Okay, well now if they have the ability to do that, you're just one short step away, then, well, they also have the ability to consent to sexual relations with people who are not minors.
Absolutely.
We're on our way there. And what's going to happen is, you know, we make these comparisons, you know, homosexuality and transgenderism and pedophilia, homosexuality and transgenderism with bestiality. And what they're going to do is they're going to say, I cannot believe that you would compare this loving homosexual couple to perverts who are pedophiles or perverts who are guilty of bestiality. I can't believe you would do such a mean thing. And they run this emotional manipulation game on us. And we kind of back up and we're like, well, no, that's not exactly what we meant. We don't want to be mean. We don't want to be harsh. We still want them to be able to be our friends. And just don't fall for it.
Absolutely. And don't listen to erstwhile Christian leaders like David French, who came out and said, look, you know, well, if we overturn Obergefell, what's going to disrupt these stable marriages between homosexuals and we disrupt families? That would be wrong. They're not marriages.
Right.
You can't have a man marry a man. Only a man can only marry a woman can only marry a man. God is the one who created marriage. He's the one that tells us what it actually is. And no amount of word games, no amount of emotional manipulation can change that fact. That is what God created. And so part of the reason that Christians are being led astray is we got guys like David French that folks are listening to, and then you got pastors who are too timid to say anything against that, or maybe who are too confused, they haven't done the hard work of studying to try to come up and say, wait a minute, this is nuts. And what we need to be doing is listening to the salt of the earth Christians who haven't been drugged down these woke pathways, and they've been doing their jobs, and they've been loving Christ, they've been trying to raise their families, and they look up periodically and they hear these crazy things coming from the culture, and they say, this is nuts.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones who are more grounded than a lot of our so-called leaders.
Well, because the reality is a lot of this is coming from the upper class. A lot of this is coming from kind of the more elite class, and seminary professors, seminary presidents, pastors, tend to be a little bit closer to that elite class than the salt of the earth Christian church member. And so pastors, seminary professors, seminary presidents have kind of been in the boiling kettle for longer than the, mm-hmm. the regular church member has. And so you talk about, you know, looking up and seeing this and thinking like, you know, this might be a little bit ridiculous that we're having Transgender Day of Visibility. I mean, that should have been us 20 years ago.
That's right.
Honestly, there should have been just such a natural revulsion. And then turning to the word and saying, oh, yeah, I have a natural revulsion for a reason, because this is the way that God has created the world. Yeah. And the fact that we don't have a natural revulsion to the fact that no other society, though other societies have accepted homosexuality as normal relationships, they've never accepted homosexual marriages. That's right. Never even been a category, even in pagan societies. The fact that we just kind of went along with the 2015 Obergefell thing, like, you know, it's not ideal, but what are you going to do? I mean, they should be able to get married, too, I guess. Yes, there should have been such a moral aversion to that. The way the pastor should have been preaching, the way that Christian leaders should have been teaching and speaking about these things. But instead we had people like David French teaching what he taught. And so, yeah, absolutely. Pastors and professors, I think, have for so long been in the boiling kettle, whereas, you know, the regular salt of the earth Christians have not been for as long. I think we need to take some of their wisdom to heart.
Absolutely, we do. And we need to go back and study the Bible again and understand what it means genuinely to love. Mm-hmm. Because one of the ways that we've been manipulated is we've had our erstwhile betters say to us, love your neighbor, wear a mask. Love mm-hmm. your neighbor, don't meet. Love your neighbor, socially distance. Love your neighbor, get the jab. Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor, accept LGBTQI and everything else. It's all in terms of love your neighbor. And at some point we got to back up. So what does it mean to love? Mm-hmm. Who gets to define love? Well, God defines love. He is love. Jesus Christ is love incarnate. And he tells us love rejoices in truth. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody's lying and says, you got to love me in my lie, that's not love. You call mm-hmm. it whatever you want to. You can't call it biblical love, because God defines love. If we love someone, we're going to try to help them to come to experience that which is best for them. We're going to want what's best for them. Somebody who's caught up in the delusion of transgenderism or any other kind of perversion, anything that's contrary to what God says is right and good and true, if we love them, we will try to help them out of that mm-hmm. to come to understand what is genuinely good and true and beautiful and virtuous. And so many of our leaders have just said, no, you've got to love. This is what love tells you to do. You've got to use pronoun hospitality mm-hmm. to show love. Mm-hmm. You know, no, you're participating in a lie if you do that. So in so many ways, what's going on today, we have been steered down this course so far that it is past time for Christian leaders, particularly pastors, particularly, to stand up and to begin to say, this is wrong, this is right, this is what the Word of God says. And we know that we are speaking contrary to the cultural norms that have been going on now for years and years and years. But we should have been saying this before, and God forgive us for not, but we're going to start saying it now, and we're not going to back up. Mm-hmm. And it needs to happen, particularly with pastors. I mean, that's our burden, mm-hmm. is to see it happen with pastors. Our elders talk about these things regularly. And churches are going to need to be discipled to think this way, because this onslaught of godless ideologies and ways of thinking, it's being foisted upon people in our churches day in and day out. And if we're not training our churches to think principally and biblically about these things, then they're going to be moved away, and there's going to be conflict whenever mm-hmm. the leaders say, no, we're not going to allow homosexual weddings to take place in our facilities that are dedicated to the glory of Jesus Christ. And no, we're not going to go celebrate something that the world is calling a marriage that God calls an abomination. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Sword and the Trowel today. If this episode has been helpful to you, or if any of the resources that Founders Ministries puts out is helpful, and there are many resources if you go to founders.org, we'd love for you to come alongside us, to support us in our ministry and in our endeavors. The Lord's been kind to us and faithful to us and in allowing us to do so many things, from our publishing to our podcasts to our theological journals and conferences and many other things. But if the Lord is calling you to come alongside us and support us in this, we'd ask you to go to founders.org, and you can go to the Give tab there and support us financially. We thank the Lord for your gift. What we're seeing in our society today is an attempted and so far fairly successful overthrow of the true religion, which has long been understood to be Christianity in this culture, in this nation, with a new pagan religion. And so the question for the churches and for Christians, I mean, what is our responsibility here? Mm-hmm. What is our duty? John Bunyan, one of your favorite books, Pilgrim's Progress. How many times have you read it?
I don't know. A lot.
Many. but he wrote another book called The Holy War, which is also a great book. And we understand that as Christians, we are in a holy war. And Bunyan mostly was speaking about that from a personal level. And on a personal level, we are engaged in spiritual warfare, putting our sins to death, repenting, trusting Christ daily. But we're seeing that kind of writ large now in a holy war between two different religions within society and within our society, to which we have a responsibility. And our weapons with which we fight this holy war, it's not, they're not physical weapons. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but rather we have the sword of the spirit and we are fighting against principalities. And so how do we engage in this warfare when, the people who are at the highest levels of authority and power in our land are trying to subvert the true religion, replacing what is accepted and understood to be like our calendar in which we celebrate Easter and Christmas, and they're replacing it with another liturgical calendar. How do we deal with that?
Well, the two great weapons of our warfare are prayer and the word. Mm-hmm. And so you speak the word, you got to know it, and you got to be willing to say it even when it is unpopular. As John the Baptist said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Mm-hmm. We need to be willing to say to President Biden, it is not lawful for you to promote murder in the womb. It is not lawful for you to promote sexual perversion. And we have to say that without blushing, without stuttering. And then we need to pray, which we do in our church every week. Almost we pray for President Biden by name almost every Sunday, and we pray for him in a general way every Sunday. But I would say it's probably 95% of the time we mention President Biden's name, and we pray for him at home, and we should be praying for our civil authorities regularly because the Bible tells us to do exactly that. And you pray for different civil authorities different ways. I mean, I appreciate Governor DeSantis and the fact that he testifies that he fears God and that he is trusting Christ. And it was interesting when President Biden issued this proclamation. On Easter Sunday, we had Governor DeSantis issue a statement saying he has risen, and happy Easter, and unapologetically. Well, praise God for that. So we do that. We did that on Easter Sunday, prayed for President Biden. I actually mentioned him in my sermon in the introduction as an example of someone who wants to identify in some way as being a Christian without actually taking seriously what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ was a real man who was really executed, who was literally entombed, and then literally on the third day came back to life in bodily fashion. And he's never died since 2,000 years later. And that Biden, if he really believes that, I mean, he doesn't believe that. He can't believe that because he's not living in the light of it. And so I think that's what we do. We preach the word and we get our people to have their minds shaped by. We disciple them in the word so that they recognize the lies of the culture, and we pray.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And we have to make some distinctions too. We should desire to see revival in our nation, revival in our society, and that happens through prayer and the proclamation of the gospel. We should desire to see that have effects in society and in culture and in politics and our governance and all those things. It is not the church's responsibility to ensure that, politically speaking, legislatively speaking, that we have made all the right moves and have done all the right things, that we can operate as a Christian nation or whatever. But it is the Christian's responsibility in the different spheres in which they have authority and influence to be able to proclaim the truth of the gospel, and proclaim the truth of all of God's word wherever they are. And in that way, and in the work that they do, they're able to see the Lord honored in their particular spheres.
Amen. And I really do agree that it comes back to love. I think that's vitally important because people hear us talk like this. I say, oh, man, you're just hateful. Mm-hmm. You know, you're hateful. You hate President Biden. I do not hate President Biden. I love President Biden. I don't want him to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he will go to hell unless he bows the knee to King Jesus and turns from sin and trusts him. I do not want those who are pushing these ideologies of transgenderism on young people and others. I do not want them to go to hell. I can stand against them. I can speak strongly mm-hmm. against them while loving them. We have to be able to do that or else we're not going to be able to live as biblical Christians. I've thought about this in a larger context over many years in terms of just war thinking and reading some about that. How could a Christian go to war and mm-hmm. fight an enemy in a just war and yeah. kill that enemy without being guilty of murder? Well, you've got to love the enemy that you're killing.
Yeah,
and you think, wow, that's crazy. That makes sense. Well, you better learn how to do it if you're going to be a soldier yeah. and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in these ways, we're not speaking out of hate. It sounds mm-hmm. like hate. We'll be accused of being hateful, but it's genuinely love. And I would rather, as Adrian Rogers taught me years ago, be loving and be thought hateful than be thought loving while being hateful.
Right. You know, Augustine, in his Just War Theory, he talks about the fact that like you just said, we have to go to war in love. Mm-hmm. And he says that killing your enemy in war can be one of the most loving things that you can do for them because you are restraining them from further injustice.
Exactly.
Restraining the enemy from further injustice, from further sin, can be one of the most loving things that you do. Now, I want to make clear, you know, we've talked about a holy war in analogous terms, and mm-hmm. we're talking about right. literal just war
right.
theory.
Right.
They are two different things. So we're not calling for any sort of violence against anyone. We are not in a legitimate war against anyone right now. But even so, the analogy still mm-hmm. holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Opposing a person in their desires can be the most loving thing that you do for them.
Absolutely. It's certainly true for a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you substitute a different sin or a different crime for the one that's under observation and consideration, and you get some ethical clarity mm-hmm. along the ways. And so, yeah, if somebody's about to murder somebody and you stop them from doing that,
mm-hmm.
you've not only served the person who's not being murdered, you've served the murderer, the yeah. would-be murderer. And so, drag queen story hour.
Mm-hmm.
I think the drag queens that do that should be arrested.
Yep.
They should not be allowed to groom children in sexual perversion.
Mm-hmm.
And that is loving the children. And that's also loving the one who is engaged in perverting them.
Mm-hmm.
Christians need to learn to think about this
yep.
the right way. Again, we used to in other days, but we have been so well discipled by the spirit of this age
yep.
that we've lost. What does it mean to think biblically about all of these cultural, moral, ethical issues? And it is incumbent upon pastors
mm-hmm.
that we get it straight and that we teach our children because they're, or teach our congregations and then help people teach their children because we're being bombarded.
Yeah.
We're being bombarded with this all the time.
Well, and you know, we know this. The greatest virtue is love. You know, this is the greatest, as Paul tells us. One of the cardinal virtues that it undergirds all the other virtues, including love, is courage. And mm. sometimes we just don't have the courage to love the way
right.
that we ought to love.
Yeah.
Sometimes we subvert a true definition and true acts of love for something that is called love because that's a lot easier to do
yeah.
than what God actually requires of me. And so we have, it's a call for us individually. It's a call to the church to be courageous in our love, to courageously love those who are lost. It's not easy. It's not yeah. an easy thing to do, but it's something that we're called to do and it's always worth it.
Amen. That's well put. And again, to love indeed and in truth,
mm-hmm.
not simply to love in a way that will gain you applause or to do what the world calls love. Well, these are important issues, and they've been brought to the fore again by this current presidential administration. But the issues aren't going away. It doesn't matter who's in the Oval Office, and it mm-hmm. doesn't matter what else happens culturally. These basic fundamental issues of what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's true, what's false, what's beautiful, what's ugly, all of those things are perennially with us, and we need to learn to think biblically about them. We want to help you do that to the best of our ability here at Founders. That's why we are putting out the books we're putting out. It's why we do these podcasts. It's why we have conferences. It's because we want to promote what the Word of God actually says about all of these critical issues, because there's nothing in life, no subject that the Word of God does not address. So thanks for joining us today on this episode of The Sword and Trowel. If this has been helpful to you, please like it and subscribe on your favorite platform and pass this around so that others might learn about the work of Founders as well.